That is flsbanquet.com.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
It is Vanessa Denha-Garmo this morning. Thanks for listening. I'm filling in for Teresa Tamio here on Catholic Connection. We have a couple guests coming up this hour on the show. We have Tom Price is going to be with us. He is the executive with Catholic Relief Services. And Tom is going to be talking about a couple things with us. He has worked with communications with faith-based international relief and development agencies for more than 17 years. His work has involved both communications and strategy management, and as well as travel to the developing world to write, photograph, and video the work of Catholic Relief Services and Habitat for Humanity International. He has visited more than 50 countries and has served at major humanitarian emergencies in Africa, Asia, and the Balkans, and most recently in Haiti. His writing and interviews have appeared in national and international media from Los Angeles, the LA Times, to CNN and the BBC. He's coming up on the show this hour, and he's going to be talking about the CRS Rice Bowl that began on Ash Wednesday. And he's going to also encourage people to pray, fast, and almsgiving. And he's also going to be talking about different creative ways to observe Lent and for people this morning. So that's what Tom Price is going to be talking with us about this morning here on Catholic Connection. And also joining us this hour will be Joan Lewis, EWTN's Rome Bureau Chief. She's going to be talking about a tour of Vatican City, which is really exciting. Even though I've been to the Vatican, I highly doubt I've seen it through the eyes of Joan Lewis. So I'm really excited about what she's going to share with us. She actually has a blog about it on EWTNnews.com if you want to read her latest blog about touring Vatican City. So we have a great show lineup this morning here on Catholic Connection. Again, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio, and now the news. Pope Benedict's older brother explained that the pontiff's decision to resign is good for the body of Christ because he had become too weak to carry out his ministry. It is a beneficial decision for the church, says 89-year-old Monsignor George Ratzinger in an interview with the Spanish daily ABC, published on February 17th. He is no longer has the strength, Monsignor Ratzinger observed. He's going through the natural process of aging, like I am as well. He said the Holy Father had cited his advanced age in informing him that he planned to resign. My brother wants more peace for his old age, he explained, and as you get older, your strength begins to fade. The review team appointed by the state of Michigan to investigate Detroit's cash flow calls the current situation a financial emergency. The year-end fund balance has been in deficit since 2005, and long-term liabilities total $14 billion, according to the report released yesterday. Michigan Treasury Andy Dillon says the structure of the local government prevents city leaders from dealing with the problem.
Well, we all know there's financial strain on the city. There's also not an ability or a mechanism in place for the city to address it absent a finding of emergency.
Governor Rick Schneider could appoint an emergency financial manager with spending powers, but Mayor David Bing said yesterday that anyone in the position would need cash and staff resources. Kansas City Mayor Sly James says they can't say for sure yet what was a gas explosion that what caused it, the gas explosion that destroyed a popular restaurant last night.
Although there's certainly some evidence that might support that, but again, we don't want to speculate. There was certainly an issue of gas involved in the incident.
Two people are still unaccounted for. The explosion happened during happy hour and destroyed JJ's restaurant. More than a dozen people were sent to hospitals for injuries ranging from minor cuts to serious burns. Chinese officials say the country's military is not behind a series of hacking attacks in the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain. American computer security company Mandiant says this week it believes a secretive Chinese military unit launched the cyber attacks at a wide range of industries. China's defense ministry accuses the company of using what the ministry calls scientifically flawed information. The Obama administration says it has repeatedly complained to Chinese officials about cyber theft. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley is calling for both political parties in Washington, D.C. to find ways to work together to come with an immigration reform plan that will work, he says. The efforts in 1986 have gone wrong for too long, and there are several things he wants to see done this time around.
We need more secure border. We also need E-Verify to be used by every business in America to ensure that they have a legal workforce.
Iowa's junior U.S. Senator added he is looking forward to future committee hearings after a recent hearing by the Senate Judiciary Committee on the issue. He said the last sentence of the preamble of the bipartisan framework is significant, which says, quote, we will ensure that this is a successful permanent reform to our immigration system that will not need to be revisited. The Republican lawmaker called the sentence most important part of the document. Iowa Governor Branstad says he has a lot of questions about how Iowa's state-federal partnership will work with the federal government for a health insurance exchange. He says he has a meeting coming up soon with health officials in our nation's capital.
I'm going to be meeting with Secretary Sebelius when I'm in Washington, D.C. to try to get more answers, and we're going to try to do the best we can.
Each state was given three choices under the Affordable Care Act for a health insurance exchange. One was to create their own, another was to have the federal government do it, and the third was to have a combination approach with Washington. From EWTN, a pregnant Texas 16-year-old on Monday won a legal injunction against her parents, whom she accused of trying to coerce her into an abortion. This is a tremendous victory, and a life has been saved, says Greg Tara, president of the Texas Center for Defense of Life. He continued, we are extremely happy with the judge's decision, and we are very proud of our teenage client for being strong enough to stand against her parents to save her unborn child's life. More than 2 million Greek workers are not working today in a nationwide strike that's bringing the country to a virtual standstill. The nation's two biggest labor unions called the 24-hour strike to protest deep government budget cuts. European bankers and government leaders demanded the cuts as a condition of propping up Greece's nearly bankrupt economy. Today's strike is the first of the year in Greece. And the first day back on the job for New York City's yellow school bus drivers as they take their children to public schools for the first time since the driver's strike a month ago.
Glad to be back to work.
Oh, yeah, we happy. Very excited to see my children.
The drivers say the strike was worth it to get their message across that they need job security. The work stoppage ended Friday after several likely mayoral candidates promised to look into that concern. Mayor Bloomberg says the city spent $20 million for MTA cards, gas, and reimbursing parents, but saved $80 million not paying the drivers during the strike. Gas prices are up again, 34 days and counting. AAA daily fuel gauge shows the average price for a gallon of regular is now $3.76. That's nearly 2 cents a gallon higher than yesterday. Drivers are getting hit hardest in California, where the statewide range is about $4.18 a gallon. Wyoming drivers are paying the least at an average of $3.20 a gallon. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning here on Catholic Connection. We have a great show lineup this morning. Couple guests coming up. Tom Price, as I mentioned, is coming up. He's executive with Catholic Relief Services. He's going to be talking about Lent. And, of course, Joan Lewis, the EWTN Rome Bureau Chief, is coming up to talk about her tour of Vatican City, which he writes a blog about. But I'm really excited to talk about to both of them, but Tom Price, especially with Lent. And, you know, as we observe Lent, I was, you know, looking for different prayers, doing some research myself. I picked up this little daily reflections of Lent. I don't know how many of you pick these up at your church. There's like that little black book that's out there. There's all different kinds of little Lenten reflections. And I found one that I love, Not by Bread Alone. It's 2013, and it's by Bishop Robert Morneau. He's the pastor of Resurrection Parish in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's a great little book. I absolutely love this. I've been reading it every day, and I read it with my Bible because there's scripture references that you can go to that support the teachings of the daily readings today and every day, actually. And today's the Wednesday of the first week of Lent, and this one's on the Lord's bidding. But I also found some other prayers during Lent that I thought I'd share with you this morning. And I think it's a great way, you know, we have the internet, we can Google all kinds of prayers, and we're really fortunate they're all over the place. So every day, if we could say, you know, either do the daily reflections, which just takes less than 5 minutes, honestly, just to read them and then reflect on what the prayers are asking you to do, maybe with a notepad and pen. I use my iPad, and I type away as I'm thinking about what I'm reflecting on, and I have the Bible, as I said, next to me. But I found some other prayers that I thought I'd share with you this morning here on Catholic Connection. Prayer of St. Ephrem of the Syrian. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not the spirit of laziness, despair, lust of power, and idle talk, but give rather the spirit of sobriety, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own transgressions and not to judge my brother. For blessed art thou unto ages of ages. You know, I have to tell you, that's one of my, you know, it's a great prayer. It's one of my favorite. It's because it's so easy for us to point the finger at other people and blame others for everything else that's going wrong in our lives, instead of being introspective and look at our own lives and what we may have done to cause problems in our lives or problems with people, and instead of constantly pointing the finger. This is a great Lenten experience, is to go introspective. Maybe during Lent you're going to spend 40 days being honest with yourself, looking in the mirror and really self-reflecting and figuring out what you have done and to get to this point in your life. And maybe your life's not going exactly the way you had planned, and maybe you have problems with people, but you know, instead of pointing the fingers at other people, maybe you can look at yourself and figure out what did I do? You know, how did I cause this problem? And that's a great prayer to reflect on. That's the prayer of St. Ephrem, the Syrian. Another one is a prayer of St. Augustine. I love St. Augustine. I mean, he has so many wonderful quotes and prayers. But here's one for Lent. O Lord, the house of my soul is narrow. Enlarge it that you may enter in. It is ruinous. O, repair it. It displeases your sight. I confess it, I know. But who shall cleanse it? To whom shall I cry but to you? Cleanse me from my secret faults, O Lord, and spare your servant from strange sins. And this goes really nicely, if you think about it, with St. Ephrem's prayer, because, again, it's self-reflection. And that's a large part of what Lent's all about. I mean, Lent is a special time of prayer, penance, sacrifice, and good works in preparation of the celebration of Easter. It is the 40-day period leading up to the Feast of Easter, recalling Jesus' 40-day fast in the wilderness. Lent begins, of course, on Ash Wednesday, and typically in February, which it was this year. And there are various Lent prayers that reflect the themes of fasting, patience, and sorrow. And I'm sharing them with you this morning, some of them that I found, in addition to the daily reflections and the Lent books that you could pick up at your church. But there's some wonderful prayers out there that are really reflective of what we're supposed to be doing during Lent. So I wanted to share more with you. Praying for aid and fasting. And fasting doesn't, you always think of fasting having to deal with food, but fasting could be from some of your favorite things, like television. I don't know, talking on the phone. I have a friend of mine that I know is fasting from Facebook. And it's probably hard for a lot of people to fast from social media. Maybe you put away your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram, and just pray during the time that you'd be spending on social media sites. But hanging as a vine upon the wood, O Christ our Savior, thou hast made the ends of the earth to drink from the wine of incorruption. Therefore do I cry out loud. I am darkened always by the hateful drunkenness of sin. Give me to drink from the sweet wine of true compunction, and grant me now the strength, O Savior, to fast from sensual pleasures, for thou art good and lovest mankind. So maybe it's not food, or, you know, you're not giving up something to eat, but you're giving up another pleasure. And television is a good one. Social media is another one. Talking on a phone, maybe email if your job is not calls you to use your email regularly. But there's all kinds of things you can fast from during this time. And I'm going to share one more prayer, and then we're going to take a break and come back and talk to Tom Price. O my all-merciful God and Lord, Jesus Christ, full of pity, Through your great love, you came down and became incarnate in order to save everyone. O Savior, I ask you to save me by your grace. If you save anyone because of their works, that would not be grace, but only reward of duty. But you are compassionate and full of mercy. You said, O my Christ, whoever believes in me shall live and never die. And then faith, and you save the lost, then save me, O my God and Creator, for I believe. Let me, and not my unworthy works, be counted to me, O my God, for you will find no works which could account me righteous. O Lord, from now on, let me love you as intensely as I have loved sin, and work for you as hard as I have worked for evil one. I promise I will work to do your will, my Lord and God, Jesus Christ, all the days of my life and forevermore. And the last one is, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's a really easy one if you just say that every day, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Again, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tom Price. He is the executive with Catholic Relief Services. You're listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamia. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like to introduce you then to Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services can be provided for up to 24 hours per day, and you may even select your caregiver before services begin. More details and franchise information is available at visitingangels.com. And that's visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
At Advanced Dentistry Center, they don't expect to hear things like,
I love going to the dentist.
But as one patient put it, Dr. Maddie makes going to the dentist an okay thing. He also makes it affordable with exams and x-rays for just $29. And that's not a limited or first-time offer. It's all the time. Discover the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Your smile deserves a call to 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
We're listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamia this morning. Tom Price has worked in communications with faith-based international relief and development agencies for more than 17 years. He's been involved with both communications and strategy at various levels, and he's worked with Catholic Relief Services and Habitat for Humanity. He's on the show this morning, Tom Price, to talk with us about the CRS Rice Bowls that began on Ash Wednesday. Tom, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Vanessa.
I have to tell you, I have one of those little bowls sitting in my foyer right now on the table there that my daughter brought home from school, and we've been adding our change to it. And I think it's great that the Catholic schools send those home with the kids.
That's great. I'm really glad to hear you doing a rice bowl. It's a wonderful thing for the family during Lent. It can bring the family really together in prayer and fasting.
What I like about it, too, it's such a simple way to explain. I have a 5-year-old, well, soon to be 6-year-old, Tom Price, and it's a great way to explain in simple terms Lent to a child and helping others in almsgiving without getting too complicated.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, when I was very small, I remember not really understanding why I had to give up chocolate or something, and thinking that, you know, Lent was just something to get through until Easter. Mm-hmm. But we tried to make Rice Bowl bring Lent to life in a very simple way that families and young children can understand why we sacrifice, why we have prayer and reflection in a very simple way. Like this week, we start with a very simple prayer, which is just loving God. We pray for the 925 million people in our world who don't have enough food. You know, very simple. Your five-year-old can understand that. And then there are longer reflections. If you want to go into them, you can explain why. And then at the center of it, there's the recipe. I don't know if you've done the recipes, Vanessa, but we put out these each week with the countries. So this week, because the featured country is Burkina Faso, which is in West Africa, we have a very simple bean cake recipe. And you can make that with your family. It's a real fun thing for kids to do, you know. Get the flour together, the beans in a big bowl, really messy, fun to make. And you can make that meal, a very simple meal like they would have in Burkina. Mm-hmm. And the money that you would save, you know, do it on a Friday, which is the traditional day for sacrifice anyway. Put the money you save from the pizza in the rice bowl. Have the bean cakes. Do the prayer and reflection. And it's a lovely blending of praying, fasting, and giving, and that it can genuinely change lives, save lives, because that money goes overseas to help CRS and our church partners' projects there, and 25% stays in the diocese where it was raised. So it'll typically go to Catholic charities and similar Catholic charity organizations in your home diocese.
Tom, are there daily reflections and daily recipes when we go to the CRS.org website? Is that how it works?
There are weekly recipes, but there are daily reflections. Mm-hmm. Today we talk about St. Isildur. That's a very short reflection. I can share it with you if you like.
Sure, please.
Yeah, St. Isildur was admired for his simple and loving ways. He showed God's love through daily acts of charity, always willing to share the little food he had with the poor that he encountered. Pray that you may learn to live simply so that others may simply live. Mm. So we have a little reflection like that every day. They're all online. They're at crsricebowl.org. You can download the calendar that has them. We have weekly reflections, which are a bit longer, and that talks a bit more about Burkina Faso and talks about Jesus' time in the desert of sacrifice. And the culmination, you know, at least for my family, is the recipe at the end of the week. So there are many levels you can do rice bowl on. You know, you can look at the website. You can go to Facebook. You can just like us on Facebook, and you'll get those reflections sent to you and the weekly recipe. Or you can also text Lent to 30644 if you just want them to pop up on your phone. So it's sort of as simple or as deep as you like.
Let me ask you this, Tom Price, because I'm on the website right now, and I know you have this on the homepage, the four steps to begin, reflect, participate, and give. And for people listening this morning who have not started yet or maybe not aware of this CRS Rice Bowl, can you go through these four steps really quickly, the begin, the reflect, the participate, and give?
Yeah, just go on the website, and you can see it at the top there to get you started.
Mm-hmm.
And you can download what we call the spiritual guide, or simply a calendar, which will have the daily reflection. And it will have a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll have a bit more information on the educational side, the country and the cause that we're featuring that particular week. Like this week, I say it's the issue of hunger and focusing on Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. You can register your rice bowl. If you didn't get one at your parish, or if your child didn't take one home from school, you don't have to have the actual rice bowl. You can any money that you raise, you can donate online, or you can just simply register on the page there. I'm sure you can see, Vanessa, on the,
yep.
on the center of the
yep.
page that
mm-hmm.
people it's showing up
very
to people all around the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Parishes and churches and individuals who are doing rice bowl. And that opens up into a map as well, so you can see people doing it right across the country.
And Tom, you know, how long has this been going on? How long has the Catholic Relief Services have been doing the Rice Bowl?
This is 37 years of Operation Rice Bowl now. Operation Rice Bowl. It's now Catholic Relief Services Rice Bowl. We changed that basically because many people had said, you know, I do Operation Rice Bowl. I love the program, but I've never heard of Catholic Relief Services. So we thought, considering it's a Catholic Relief Services program, we might want to change that. So it's really been a relaunch this year. And it's adding these new features, taking it into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. You can do it on your iPad, through Facebook, on your phone. There are a wonderful array of prayer reflections and intentions on the website. There are videos. So from Burkina, you can focus on one particular farmer called Musa. And he originally had to leave his family, you know, his wife and young children, and go all the way to the Ivory Coast to work on a coffee plantation to support his family. But through money raised by CRS's Rice Bowl, we improved agriculture in his village. It was basically an irrigation project. So he can be with his family now, and they can grow enough food to eat and to sell at market so they can send their children to school. Yeah. So
Tom, we're going to continue. I got to take a quick break because we have a hard break right here. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back and continue this conversation with you. Stay with us, Tom. Stay with us, everyone.
I've always been blessed with great health. Then, one morning I woke up and couldn't remember what day it was. After a rush trip to the ER and two full days of tests and scans, they told me I had a rare form of amnesia. Thank God it was temporary. I got most of my memory back, but the hospital bill, well, that's one I wanted to forget. Fortunately, everything went great with MediShare. The bills were paid so quickly, it really was a non-event. What a blessing to have my medical costs shared by fellow Christians. MediShare is healthcare the way God meant it to be.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-81. Not available in Kentucky or Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-81. That's 855-PSALM-81.
You're invited to the Family Life Services 2013 Winter Gala on Thursday, March 7th. Family Life Services is excited to announce that the dinner will take place at the Yankee Air Museum at Willow Run Airport in Belleville. Check-in begins at 6:15. At that time, you'll be free to visit the museum with its World War II memorabilia and aircraft while sampling some great appetizers. Dinner begins at 7 o'clock. Gary Feenstra is the guest speaker. Register today at flsbanquet.com. That is flsbanquet.com.
You're invited to a special dinner to benefit Catholic Urban Project Wednesday, February 27th at Barton Hills Country Club in Ann Arbor. The keynote speaker for the benefit is Magnus McFarland Barrow, founder of Mary's Meals, an internationally acclaimed movement that feeds over 700,000 children every day. Catholic Urban Project is an Ypsilanti-based missionary outreach empowering young adults to bring the light of Christ to the new missionary frontier, the city. You can help these missionaries and their service to the poor by going to CatholicUrbanProject.org.
You are listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. We've been talking with Tom Price, executive with Catholic Relief Services, about the annual Rice Bowl that's been going on for more than 30 years. And Tom, over the years, it's changed and evolved, and using technology today has really helped. There's a website and Facebook page. But do you get feedback from the diocese and the schools that participate of what impact it's made on their lives to participate in the Rice Bowl?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it really does bring reflection and sacrifice to life in a tangible way, and especially from schools. And I've visited some of these schools. They say that the stories really help because I think, you know, we're lucky that most of us have as much as we need, more than we need. And it's difficult, especially for children, to understand that some people don't. Some kids genuinely go hungry when they go to sleep at night. And these simple stories and pictures can get that over. And this really is the time of year when we do need to think of people who just don't have as much as we do.
Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, Tom, it's such a great way, this project, Rice Bowl, is such a great way to involve young children. I have my daughter who's going to be six soon, and she even came home, you know, when she came home with the Rice Bowl, and she came home and she said, Mom, you know, do you know there's kids that don't have a home, Mom, and some kids don't have enough food to eat? And so it resonated with her. I mean, she was thinking about this. I don't know what time of the day they gave him the Rice Bowl and talked to her about it, but obviously it stayed with her because when she got home from school, she couldn't wait to tell me.
Uh-huh. And we tried to make it very simple themes, like you're saying, mm-hmm. your daughter picked up on someone hadn't enough to eat, mm-hmm. and that's the theme of this week. And there's the story of how, you know, this farmer Musa could grow more to feed his family.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, the theme is preventable disease. Then after that, it's kindergarten, early childhood education.
Mm-hmm.
And we have clean water as well, which, like you know, many people don't even have access to clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final week, we also highlight work in the U.S., and it's the work of the Diocese of Oakland in California.
Does every week do you have real-life stories to reflect upon to share with the schools and the dioceses that are involved in this?
We do, yes. And this week is the journey through the desert. So it's a blending of Jesus' time in the desert with the theme of agriculture and food and fasting. Mm-hmm. And it's got a prayer as well. It's more in-depth than the short reflection that I read. So it's something that you could build a meal around for your family if you wanted to do that,
mm-hmm.
or a lesson in a class, an hour-long lesson.
I love the fact that you really made this interactive, Tom Price, with the activities and ideas to share with your family, your children of all ages, to make it really a community of experience during Lent.
That's what a lot of people picked up on. That
mm-hmm.
it can bring a family together. It's a group. It can be a group experience. While much of Lent traditionally is personal reflection and sacrifice, this can complement that in that it's more of a group activity.
Mm-hmm. What are some other things? I mean, obviously, it's not too late to start. If you didn't start Ash Wednesday, you could still start. And like you said, you could just go, on the website and donate if you wanted to. Is the whole point for us to think about maybe daily, you know, giving up that cup of coffee, for instance, as an adult, you know, not going to that local coffee shop and, you know, some type of thing that you could do that day that, you know, you that extra candy bar or that going to that vending machine during work instead of putting it in a rice bowl or those little tips, you know, little things that we could do every day to give back and put that money that we would normally spend into this rice bowl?
That's exactly it. Whatever suits your lifestyle, if it is, you know, no Coke, put the change in the rice bowl.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's skipping the pizza on a Friday. Put the money in the rice bowl. There are so many ways you can do it. It's very adaptable. If you haven't got the rice bowl, put it in a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Send the money online. Or even if you don't, just spare those thoughts. Read the prayer reflection.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, in recent years, when we've all suffered with a downward economy, how did it affect the Catholic Relief Services initiative and the Rice Bowl over the last few Lenten seasons?
We found that U.S. Catholics are, you know, enormously generous, and it really didn't negatively affect it
That's
that bad.
Fabulous.
Rice Bowl raises about $8 million every year, and it really does change people's lives. We have a staff member now for Catholic Relief Services in Ghana, who as a child was fed by programs funded by Rice Bowl.
Hmm.
He's been to the U.S. to talk about his experience. So, you know, it's come full circle. He is alive because of the generosity of U.S. Catholics
mm-hmm.
through Rice Bowl. He went on to work for Catholic Relief Services, and now he's telling U.S. Catholics about Rice Bowl.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I can tell you, Tom, the change that you spare, the money that you spare, that you throw, you're not going to miss it. I mean, honestly, it's such a small sacrifice, like you say, that do tremendous good for people who are so less fortunate than us. That, you know, that one little less cup of coffee or that one little thing in the vending machine, you know, we don't miss it. You're not going to miss it.
That's right. I mean, it. I don't know about your family, but with mine, it often ends up in a jar by the door anyway. So it's much better off.
Us too. We have a little piggy bank. We just throw it in. You know, we come home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to blend it with faith, mm-hmm. whether it goes in the rice bowl or whether it goes in a cup that you've decided is it's your rice bowl. It's just the rice bowl is the it's symbolic mm-hmm. of this time of year, of Lent and sacrifice and prayer and mm-hmm. thinking about our brothers and sisters in need.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some lovely examples on the Rice Bowl site about how very small amounts of money can change lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you spend on groceries a week, but it's a lot more than $10 for us.
Mm-hmm.
But $10 will buy 2 weeks of food for a family of six in Africa, in the part of Africa that we're featuring during this first week of Lent.
Wow, $10. 2 weeks.
Just $10.
For 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. And you know that's just those, that's not many of those pockets of change that go in the jar by the door.
That's incredible. You know, for us, Tom, you know, I was mentioning my daughter. She has a jar that she's saving up to spend at Disney. We're going to take her to Disney World. And mm-hmm. we told her that during this time of Lent, she's got to put that money into the rice bowl. And
that's a really good idea.
And yeah. and it makes her realize, you know, that she is giving up something so important to her because, you know, she gets to spend that money at Disney, but she's making a difference in somebody else's life. And I've got about 20 seconds here, Tom. One last word and the website again before we let you go.
It's crsricebowl.org. Go there. It's very simple. It's as deep or as shallow as you like, what you've got the time for, but it's about praying, fasting, and giving this Lent.
Tom Price, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back to talk with Joan Lewis.
At birth, you bring your children into the Catholic faith.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son.
You nurture their faith as they grow.
Prayer is about an encounter with a living God.
Unfortunately, many young adults lose their faith in a secular, anything-goes college culture. At Franciscan University of Steubenville, your child's college years will be a time to grow in the Catholic faith. With its 40 majors and vibrant Catholic culture, Franciscan University is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
The Alexian Brothers of the Catholic Religious Order of Men look back on 800 years of service.
Our concern was always with feeding the poor, nursing the sick, and burying the dead. There was a time when most of our men were nurses. That's not the case anymore. We have MBAs, mechanics, engineers.
The brothers still serve the poor, the elderly, the sick, and dying.
I knew that as an Alexian Brother, I could make a difference in people's lives.
If you're a man generous enough to serve the weakest, call toll-free 1-800-556-0332.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like to introduce you then to Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services can be provided for up to 24 hours per day, and you may even select your caregiver before services begin. More details and franchise information is available at visitingangels.com. And that's visitingangels.com.
You've been visiting Jerusalem in your mind as long as you've been hearing Mass. But now you're in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus stood. Visit Israel and walk the same cobbled streets he walked to the site of the crucifixion. You'll never celebrate the Passion the same again. And you'll never forget a vacation in Israel. The welcoming people, ancient cities, and modern hotels. Every Catholic should see where the Gospels happened. Visit Israel. You'll never be the same. Learn more at bestdealisrael.com.
And you're listening. listening to Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. She is a regular of the show, and she's EW10's Rome Bureau Chief. And she recently took a tour of Vatican City and wrote about it in her latest blog. Joan Lewis, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I'm just glad that I was home in time today to do the show at home, although we could have spoken on the, on a cell phone. But it's really been extraordinary. This week, while the Pope and ranking members of the Roman Curia are on retreat with Cardinal Gianfranco Ravasi preaching that retreat, they're on retreat until Saturday morning about 11 or so. And so for the media, there has been less news in the extended press conferences and press briefings. So they've arranged for us to visit the Vatican City Gardens, and one of the stops was the monastery where Benedict will be living in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, we had to get there on our own, but probably 30 or so of us visited Casa Gandolfo, and it was just absolutely splendid. We were told it would only be an hour visit, and we were also told it would basically be the gardens. Well, it turned out to be a couple of rooms, reception rooms, right on the first floor, and the director of the Papal Villas, whom I do know, his name is Saverio Petrillo, and he's been at the Vatican. He's probably the most senior member. He's been there since Pius the 12th. He's probably, I think he's about 70 or 72, lovely, lovely gentleman, and he's the director of the Papal Villas. So he was filling us with history and stories and accompanied us through those rooms, in those rooms, and then in the courtyard of the Papal Villa. And the thing that was so thrilling about today, not only the rooms we were in, but being in the gardens, was that these are places not at all ever open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so the courtyard is open when the Pope is there in the summer, for example, and he does recite the Angelus with maybe, 2,000 people or so. But that's it. You don't get to see any other part mm-hmm. of the palace or the immensely beautiful gardens. Less colorful today because it's not yet springtime, so there's
sure.
a lot of things that aren't in bloom. But I have a pedometer, mm-hmm. and you don't really put it on your foot, but you put it on your waist.
Sure,
and
sure.
Your, Well, I'm so sorry. I didn't think of bringing that today.
I would say, how many steps did you take?
Oh, I just can't believe it. Well, we were in the gardens. It's uh-huh. kind of up and down, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we walked a good 2 hours, 2.5 hours
wow.
in the garden.
Wow.
So,
were you with a group of reporters, Joan? Was there a whole group of contingency?
Yes, we all had to get there on our own. So six of us got a van, and
okay.
We left very early this morning.
Okay.
And but the nice thing is you get to the beautiful little square of the town of Casa Gandolfo, which probably has, 5,000-7,000 residents in the town and around. And, people were setting up their cameras, and the mass was going on in the little local church of the parish of St. Thomas, so we didn't go in, but we did later meet the pastor. And you have your coffee, and then all of a sudden on the dot of nine, the church bells ring, and the doors to the Apostolic Palace opened, and then they brought us inside, and actually an hour was inside, and the remaining 2.5 or so hours were in the gardens. But I just have to share one wonderful story, because it has so touched my heart. It's a story I knew before today,
sure.
because the director had given me, a couple years ago, a personal half-day tour of the building, but mostly the gardens. Anyway, it's 55 hectares, Casa Gandolfo. I do not know exactly what that is in acres. It's 11 hectares bigger than Vatican City State. And that's 44, that's 108 acres. So whatever the math is, this is a bigger territory than the Vatican City territory. But during World War II, Pius XII brought opened the doors to people, and it did not make any difference if they were Jewish or Christian. When Frascati and the whole area around Casa Gandolfo was being bombed, he opened the, not only the doors of the building itself, some of the rooms we saw today, but the gardens, and wherever people could find cover. It could be in the ruins.
Wow.
Because there's ruins there of the Emperor Domitian's villa, and his summer villa was 14 square miles. I'm not making a mistake. 14 square miles.
Wow.
So he let these people on the property. And interestingly enough, Pius XII gave the papal bedroom over to any mother who was about to have a child.
Wow.
And 55 people. It's the same bedroom that is a papal bedroom today, except obviously they put in some, you know, new furniture.
Sure.
But 55, I think it was 50 or 55 children were born there. Of the boys, most of them were given the name Eugenio, which was Pius XII's birth name, Eugenio.
Oh.
They were given that name or Pio, which is Pius.
Oh, my gosh.
It's such a wonderful story.
That's a great story.
Well, these are the stories that sometimes just aren't told as often as they should be.
Do they tell you those stories on the tour? Is that where you're getting these, Joan, while you're on the tour?
Yes, it was the director of the Papal Villas who gave us that story today.
Gosh, so, I love it.
You know, the camera people, the television people were there, and then anybody who had an iPhone, an Android, or a recorder was recording this. So I have some of the stories on videos. Oh, I have to tell our listeners, I'm so proud of myself. I did six videos yesterday in the Vatican Gardens, and in each one I'm talking, and I'm telling what you're seeing.
Are we going to be able to see that on EWTN.com?
Well, right now they're on YouTube, so if people go to YouTube, Joan to Rome. And I have a video with the commentary of the monastery, Mater Ecclesiae, where Benedict will be residing as soon as they have finished all the...
I can't wait to see that.
All the restorations. So, and then I'll be putting a just photos on my blog of that. But what I was doing just before we went on air was looking at my videos of Castel Gandolfo. So you'll see the gardens, the papal residence. I do tell the story of Pope Pius XII giving his bedroom to expectant mothers. And so it should be a lot of fun.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that, Joan. We're going to take a break, though, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation about your tour. But I also want to ask you, being Chaldean, about our new patriarch, if you were there at all. I don't know if you could talk about that, but I do want to mention that conversation as well. We'll be right back with Joan Lewis. She's the EWTN Rome Bureau Chief, and we're continuing our conversation right here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us, everyone.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Are low interest rates impacting your long-term investment plans? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds may offer a solution in its equity and fixed income mutual funds. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. Call toll-free 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
This program is brought to you in part by the generous support of Ciena Communications. Ciena introduces a plan to give you a mobile phone with no contract required. There are no hidden fees, and with Ciena, using your mobile phone helps the culture of life in America with no additional cost or effort from you. Everyday mobile phone living becomes effortless giving. More information can be found at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's ProLifeCatholic.com. Charity begins at phone.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part from our day sponsor. To honor my son, Colin Caribou, on his birthday today, I'm also proud of my other children, Dr. Rory Caribou, April, Holly, Callie, their spouses, and all my grandchildren. May God bless you all.
If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
It is Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio, talking with Joan Lewis. She has on YouTube, Joan's Rome, a tour of Vatican City, videos that she put up, that she took a tour of. Really excited to see that. She also has a blog about her tour, and we'll have pictures as well. Joan, we're continuing our conversation. I know you took a tour of Rome, and I have to tell you, our bishops, Chaldean bishops, and I don't know if you were there during this time, but they were voting on a new patriarch for the Eastern Catholic Chaldean Church, and it was shortly before the Pope had announced his resignation, and I had asked our Bishop Ibrahim here, was that shocking to him here in Detroit, and he said, actually, no, because when I saw the Pope, he did look very tired. And, you know, we haven't had a resignation, but he wasn't totally shocked. And, you know, they voted on a new patriarch. Were you there at the time during the Vatican when this vote was going on?
Oh, yes, I certainly was. And, of course, I've met Patriarch Rye, but he was not the patriarch then when I was in Lebanon in 2010.
Yeah. Patriarch Sacco?
You said Rye. I'm sorry.
Sacco. Patriarch Sacco.
Oh, I know very well.
Yeah.
And I have had lunch in his home in Kirkuk and did an extensive radio interview with him, which I will be airing on my weekend show again.
Oh, good.
So Patriarch Sacco I do know, and of course Patriarch Rai, the new Lebanese patriarch, and who he's been in Rome quite a number of times. I did meet him also in Lebanon, actually, when I was there for several days on my way to Beirut. So if I'd had to write down a name, I would have guessed that the Chaldeans would have chosen Patriarch. Would have chosen, yes, Sacco.
Yeah.
Well, and he's been, you know, very, very outspoken about the rights of the rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, the rights of Christians, and obviously how they are suffering. They're a minority, but they shouldn't be suffering. They are good citizens who contribute to the good of the country and only look for the welfare of the country. So, you know, very important interventions that he's had in the past. Now, I think the only thing that I feel sorry, because we've communicated since he became patriarch, and I know that when he became, he has to move, of course, to Baghdad. So he was in Kirkuk, which has had its share of suffering, but Kirkuk's in the north. It is closer to Kurdistan, and so I know he, you know, they did have problems in Kirkuk, but nothing like the tense and often dangerous situation in Baghdad. So that part of his new ministry certainly will you know, have to weigh on his mind, because you can't let it weigh on your mind every day, because you have to go about and do what a patriarch does. And I know he'll be traveling, too, but mostly staying in Iraq and helping all the Chaldeans.
And, you know, when I talked to Bishop Ibrahim here, he said it was very important to him and to others that the new patriarch was from Iraq to understand what is happening there, and not a bishop who has been gone from the country for 30-some years, who would be more of a stranger than somebody who's been living there, because there's so much persecution. So I was glad I got to talk to you about that, because I've been wanting to ask you about that appointment. And Chaldeans are Christians from Iraq, for those listening around the country, and we just picked our new patriarch, and they were there in the Vatican voting just days before the Pope announced his resignation.
But you know what you said was so true. I was on our television last week on EWTN, although much of it was, you know, via phone like this, but and I was also on Fox News quite a number of times, and I was asked about my reaction. I said I was stunned but not surprised. In the sense of stunned, yes, it was sudden, wow, out of the blue, you know, I'm going to resign. And the implications that you have a man still living while his successor will be reigning as Pope. But I was not surprised, because anybody who just watches television or watches the Pope could have seen a decrease in vitality, in energy, and even a weight loss. And I said to friends after he came back, Benedict came back to Rome, at the end of September, almost 3 months in Castel Gandolfo, and then, of course, the 3 days in Lebanon, where he looked good. He seemed to have been very uplifted and energized by the crowds, and certainly especially the young people. But when he came back to Rome and from Castel Gandolfo, he usually looked rested, maybe slightly tanned, because he would walk in the gardens and say the rosary and so forth. And this time it was, you could see a weight loss. There was no visible tan. So those of us who know him, follow him, see him in many liturgies and so forth, we did see a physical decline.
Yeah.
And again, I always want to stress the age. He's going to be 86.
I know. How many of us, and that's what I said to our bishop. I said, I don't know if I'd have that energy to, you know, at 86 years old, you know, if I'm, God willing, still alive on this earth. And Joan, I noticed the same thing when I was picking up pictures to be in the next issue of the Chaldean News with our patriarch and our bishop and the Pope. I struggled because there were so many pictures that he looked so sick. I was like, wow, he looks really weak in these pictures. And my copy editor and I were talking, well, what do we pick because of how he looks? So God bless him. And I still think what he did was so honorable and a wise man to make that decision.
You know, Vanessa, it shows his enormous love for the church, to want to do the right thing for the church and not leave it in a state of possible confusion. And his mental faculties, oh, my Lord, they are still there intact, better than any 100 people I know. He gave a talk last week to the Roman clergy off the cuff for about 50 minutes that is awesome, and I mean all capital letters, you know.
But we got about 20 seconds, Joan. We got 10 or 20 seconds. We'll let you go.
Well, very quickly, let me sum it up. I think John Paul in suffering gave us a lesson in how to deal with pain, how to die. And I think that Benedict has given us a very good lesson on how to live.
Joan Lewis said it's the best. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Connection. Thank you to Al Creston, Mike Jones, Teresa Tomio, and Andrew for allowing me to fill in and helping me out here this morning. God bless.
Catholic
Have a great
Connection
day.
With Teresa Tomio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
You're following Jesus' path from Nazareth to Galilee, where he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Visit Israel and see the sites where Jesus spread the word. The stories you've heard since childhood will come alive with new meaning. You'll never hear the Mass the same again. And you'll never forget a vacation in Israel. The welcoming people, ancient cities, and modern hotels. Every Catholic should see where the Gospels happened. Visit Israel. You'll never be the same. Learn more at bestdealsisrael.com.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based